It is Sunday morning. We welcome in the bench coach of the San Francisco Giants. That's Ron Wotus. Well, how are you?
Marty, I'm doing well. Here we are, huh? One game away from the break.
Boy, amazing. You know, as I said yesterday on the show, you stand out there in February, you watch those bullpens in the back, you guys are at every station and moving people around, and you say, are we ever going to get to July and say it's time for the break? It goes quickly, doesn't it?
It does. You know, to your point, when you're in spring training, you think about all the ball you have ahead of you and all the drills and everything that you go through, just as you had mentioned. It comes quick, and here we are at the break, and as everybody knows, once the break is over, things really ratchet up, heat up, and, you know, we'll be down the last few weeks before too long.
Yeah, before you know, as I always say, teams can disappear in July, especially after the break.
Yeah.
You know, isn't that the truth?
Well, teams separate themselves, you know. Historically, the good teams, you know, cream rises to the top, and the longer you play, you know, the teams start to separate themselves, and you see it every year, and we need to be one of those teams as well.
Yeah, well, you're having trouble in July, and, you know, June was no picnic. You started winning at the end, but now you're getting it going in July. I think you're about 3-7 in July with the game pending today, and then August comes up with a buzzsaw of a schedule. So pitching, I've said it for many years, and you got some good starting pitching. Last night, Vogel saw a couple of home runs. Boy, Howard and Ashy, boy, you know, I'll tell you, if those guys played in this park, they can reach the seats.
Yeah, you know, they've done pretty well offensively. You know, Philly's pitching is what's really been hurting them big time. I think your starters' ERAs are, you know, sixes and sevens, but they have some bats. They're able to score some runs. They have some speed, and, you know, you have to make your pitches on them or they can hurt you.
Yeah, Kane and Peavy have pitched well. I mean, I think, how would you feel? I mean, beyond expectation, what you thought, what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, you know, Matt Kane's been down a long, long time, and his second start was Matt Kane-ish, you know, as we've seen in the past, and Jake Peavy. I mean, my goodness, really not much of a spring training, and the two games that he pitched, you know, he's given us exactly what we needed deep into the ball game with limited runs. So, you know, we're primed to make a move here. You know, we're getting healthy. We got Hunter Pence back. We have these two pitchers back. Aoki's not that far off. And if we get everybody, you know, the team together, the band back together, what we had planned on going down this stretch run after the All-Star break, it's going to be very, very important for
us. Very interesting. All right. Hey, I thought you guys couldn't hit at AT&T Park. What happened?
Yeah, well, I guess we proved that to be a fallacy, right?
You
know, that's the game. We swung the bats extremely well, you know, and we hit some balls out of the ballpark. It doesn't happen every day, but, you know, Major League players, they can get hot. Guys can hit home runs, and it doesn't matter where you're at. But over the long haul, we know it's a little more difficult here than some other ballparks.
Boy, Crawford hit one this week that, you know, 421 is in the corner. He hit it about 420 and a half. And Lagares, who I love as a center fielder of the Mets, I mean, he just ran it down, one-handed it basically out there. Or Granderson went in the gap for that one. But the Mets can play outfield. But Crawford, I mean, if you look at balls struck this year that didn't go out, that may be the longest.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's frustrating for the players when they hit the ball. When you hit into triples alleys, you know, the benefit is you hit a line drive, the ball goes in the gap, it's a sure triple.
Yeah.
And I think we lead the majors in triples. But when you hit the ball in the air in that area, that's a home run in any other ballpark. But here, if the defense defenses you in the right position or deep enough, they can go out there and catch that ball.
All right. Well, tonight you go to Cincinnati, and you get on the plane, the Giants plane. You get a nice first-class seat. And off to Cincinnati, your third, is this your third one or fourth
third,
one?
Third trip to the All-Star game here, yeah.
How about 2002? You probably went to
2002. When we when Dusty was the manager, of course, he left. He went to Chicago. I didn't go. Rags didn't go.
Really?
The game was in Chicago, and Dusty had just went to Chicago. So Dusty took the Chicago coaching staff with him to the Chicago game. So that would be in 2003 was the game. Yeah, so we didn't make that one.
All right. Well, this is exciting. And someone called in the other night and said, do you get paid for this thing? Players, I know, have bonuses in their contracts. I don't know if managers do or coaches do, but do you get paid for this? It is a whirlwind for 3 days here.
Yeah. Well, you don't get paid, but you get expense money, per diem, you know, to cover things. MLB does a nice job. They give you a couple first-class tickets for your family to include them, so you get two extra tickets. There's an extra hotel room available for you, for your family members, and you get meal money basically, and that's about it. But you don't get paid.
All right. Well, you get some nice benefits though of being there, and you get autographed baseballs. And do you get to keep your jersey?
There you go. Pardon?
You get to keep your jersey?
Yeah, they give you one of the jerseys, and it's great for the kids, like Roberto Kelly and his family. All the kids will go. And you know, you think back to, you know, when you were a kid, and this is what it's all about. So, you know, you get the kids, get the jerseys that have the National League on it. They really enjoy it, but they'll give you your jerseys. You get some equipment, nice. You know, you get some shoes and different things, mementos that will be there. You know, the big thing will be all the autographs. There'll be stuff lined up like it is in the playoffs in the World Series. You know, when you go into the World Series and you see the table that Murphy's out there and you have 20 dozen baseballs, they'll be all lined up. Players will be taking around jerseys and bats and different things to get autographs from their peers. Yeah.
Well, interesting, though, from your standpoint, number one, how do you even prepare? Do you shift? Do you get ready to shift here?
Yeah.
Infield practice? How about hitting ground balls to Tulo? You know, how do you like that? What's that all about?
Well, that's the fun part of it. You know, being an all-star, it's an honor. You get to go over there with the best players in the league. And what I enjoy the most is having the opportunity to sit down and talk with them, you know, about whatever. It could be baseball or just get to know them better. And, you know, it humanizes the game a little bit. You're always trying to beat the opponent, but now you have a chance for 2 days to hit them some ground balls, talk to them a little bit, and maybe pick their brain and what they like to do. And that's always fun in your professional side of it, because you can talk to the great players in the game about how they like to do things. And I've done that with Tulo in the past and Brandon Phillips. And so we'll hit ground balls to them, and they'll get their work in. And then, of course, it'll be exciting to see our two guys out there, Panic and Crawford, taking ground balls right along with them, not to mention, obviously, Buster and Bum, but they'll be right in the thick of it.
Yeah, how about Panic and Crawford as all-stars? And I'll tell you something. If the thing went another 2 weeks, you could be taking your third baseman with you, too. We're going to talk about him in a second. But Panic and Crawford, all-stars, how about that?
Yeah, it's I'm so happy for these guys. These guys, you know, they've come so far. Look at Brandon Crawford. I mean, we always knew that he had gold glove and all-star caliber defense. And, you know, he would go as far as the bat would allow him. But he's made himself into a very good hitter and a dangerous hitter, a shortstop that could hit the ball out of the ballpark. So real happy for him. Obviously, Joe Panic, you know, Steve Decker calls him the businessman. He shows up, he comes to work, it's all business, works extremely hard. And, you know, he's done it here at a position that's relatively new to him. I mean, what he did last year in the World Series, and now first full season starting off, and he's gotten to be an all-star. So it's quite an accomplishment for Joe. They both are very deserving, and I'm glad that they're both going.
And you ought to be proud. I mean, you're the infield coach, and you must have hit a million ground balls, and now you see your pupils going to the all-star break. I mentioned the other day Ron Washington. He made a career out of getting Tejada to be a shortstop, Chavez to be a third baseman, Ellis to be a second baseman, Giambi to be a first baseman. He made a lifetime out of that and leaped into a manager's job. So for you, I mean, you got to be proud of it.
Oh, sure, you're proud. I mean, there's a lot of people that are proud of these guys, and you go right back down to John Barr, who, you know, scouted and drafted these guys. The minor league development people, Jose Aguacil, had a hand in helping these guys. But, you know, the beauty of these two players is they're players, and they're going to figure it out on their own. And us as coaches, we just try to, you know, help them where we can, nudge them in the right direction, you know, help them with certain things. But these guys are all stars. And, hey, short careers. They've won a World Series. Mm. Now they're going to their first All-Star game. Cool. They ought to be proud of themselves.
Yeah, very good. You know, it's funny. I talked to Crawford the other day, and we were talking about Panic. And he says, you know, because they worked together in the Fall League. I saw him down there in the Fall League when Panic first became a second baseman. And he said, oh, Panic goes about everything in a very mechanical way. You know, he does this the same way every time, same way every time. I said, do you realize you're describing the nickname of a Hall of Fame second baseman, Charlie Gehringer, of the Tigers. They called him the mechanical man because everything he did was the same way every time as a 300 hitter. Great double play combination in there with, I guess, maybe Dick Bartel in those days. I forget who was the shortstop for the Tigers. But even on his doorbell, he had mechanical man above the doorbell. But that's who he described with panic, and it was a compliment. I don't think he realized what he was saying.
Yeah, you know, they're good for each other. If you look at them, you have the West Coast version. You know, Craw has a little more style and flash in his game. He's always, you know, made the fantastic play he likes in pregame. He can go behind the back, between the legs. And, you know, so he has that West Coast flash style to him. And now we have Joe Panic, you know, Mr. Businessman from the East Coast. Steady Eddie, you know, nothing flashy about him. He's just going to get the job done. I mean, this guy's as sure-handed as they come. He has two errors. If he gets to the ball, it's in his glove and he's making the play. Not to mention how well he's turning a double play now. So it's fun to watch these two guys, and they're good for each other.
Yeah.
They're good for each other. And, you know, they like to get fancy. You know, Craw rubs off on Panic a little bit because he'll bare hand one here or there, go behind the back, and Panic obviously rubs off on Craw. That's how close they are. And it's great to see two middle infielders who enjoy playing together and work together the way they do.
Yeah, great story. It really is. You know, I look at the great stories of this season. Duffy is one. I think the double play combination becomes another one. Heston working today. Kontos, Aoki. I mean, there's some significant stories. When you win, you have to have these stories.
Yes, you do.
And you have to have them. And I think we've got a lot of them budding. And some have actually that have come through, and a part of it is the All-Star. Taking the All-Star game a little bit further, Ron Wotus with us. Do you use signs in the All-Star game? I mean, you know, you guys are come together for about 30 minutes before a game. It can't be too complicated. What do you do?
Yeah. Well, Roberto Kelly will come up with a couple signs. You know, Boch has to have something in place if he wants to bunt with the game on the line or hit and run or try to create. I'm sure that'll be the extent of it. It won't be too involved, but Roberto will have a quick meeting after Boch does, I'm sure, and he'll go over a couple signs that we're going to use. You know, something simple. You know, it won't be anything elaborate because you don't want it to miss them, but these guys are all-stars. You know, they're pretty darn good players, and a lot of it's going to be in their hands, but we will have the signs in place, and you mentioned about shifting. You know, that's always a possibility. We'll talk to the guys about some of the opposition here, and, you know, and the game's on the line. We want to win the game, so we want to have things in place where we can do that if Boch needs to make a move.
All right. You know, when I grew up, you know, if you bunted, they touch your belt. I mean, is it that simple?
It can be. Absolutely.
Is it that simple?
Absolutely. You know, it is. I mean, I've seen third base coaches have stuff that simple. Certainly. How they stand, claps, you know,
okay.
One clap, you're hitting and running, two, you're bunting. Sure, it can be that simple. And, you know, it's one game. Nobody's going to steal the signs in the All-Star game because you're not going to put too many on. And usually the 40 or 50,000 people that are there, they kind of know what's going to happen in a particular situation. But, you know, I have to look at the roster again. I don't know how many bunters we're going to have on this team. These guys
That's
are
true.
Putting up big, big numbers. I see D. Gordon went down. So, you know, I'm not sure how much sacrificing you're going to see.
Yeah, that's a good point. Ron Wotus with us. A lot of young players. I think 37 players, 27 years or younger. This is what baseball's trying to do, and it's happening. I don't know if they're trying to do it, but it's happening. I think you have like 31 first-time All-Stars going. This is now the face of baseball, where it's going to the young people. And you've got it as well on your team now. It's Susak behind the plate, Duffy, Panic out there, Heston now up there. You're an older team, average-wise, you know, with the birthdays of the pitchers. It seems like they're turning 37 or 38 every day now. But the average age is probably pretty high, but you got a lot of young players who are making an impact now, just like all over baseball.
Yeah, we are. And, you know, it's a young man's game. I mean,
isn't it?
The veteran guy and their experience and what they bring to the table is, no question, very, very important, you know. But the bottom line is it's a demanding game. You know, people probably don't realize what you know, how demanding it can be. You say, well, you're standing out there in the field. Well, you play every single day, and everybody knows what the travel is. And you have to stay injury-free. And the older you are, it can be more difficult to stay healthy. And the young player has always had an advantage if they were good because they're young. They have youth on their side. They don't tire as quickly. They don't break down as quickly. And you're seeing it around the game of baseball. And it's great to see because young players bring energy. They bring energy to the game and a youthful enthusiasm that you don't always see from some of the older veteran clubs. So here we got a great balance. You know, we have the veterans, we have the guys that have been through it and can pass down the information to the young player, but we also have that youth, which brings energy. So it's great to see.
And your young people have done a lot in baseball so far. I mean, that's the other point. You know, your young people have experience of winning World Series.
They're battle-tested, aren't they? I mean, look.
That's the mental toughness.
Wow. You got Bumgarner, 3 World Series. You know, Posey, I mean, I think he's won every award that has been out there. And the list goes on and on. And now, Panic and Crawford win the World Series. Now they're all stars. You know, there's the Matt Cains. It's, how many guys we've had go. It's been spread around. And it's really great to see. It's a good time for San Francisco baseball. There's no question about it.
All right. Bochy mentioned to me that the All-Star game has to be scripted ahead of time. Now, you're his bench coach. You're his right-hand man there. He said, well, we know the pitching right now. We know what we're going to do. We know, because if you don't go in there ahead of time, he says it is complete chaos.
Yeah, no question. Look, you have to have it mapped out. You know, one, you want to get everybody in the game if you can. Obviously, you have to hold people back for extra innings. But if you don't have it mapped out, with as many pitchers you have and as many players that you have, it's going to be chaos, as Boach said. So, you know, he'll sit down with Rags. He'll know when they want to throw certain guys. And that can move up a batter or so, right? Yeah. And if a lefty comes up in a big situation and a pitcher has too many pitches and he's got the lefty ready for next inning, I mean, they can pop him in there. And the same thing will happen for the most part with the position players. I'll go over it with him and see where he wants to use guys. You know, you're basically too deep at each position, and you want to get guys in the game. And then you think about maybe your weapons for late in the game. If you get to that point where you may be able to pinch run, if it's a close game, you hold back a guy or two, a pinch hitter, and you have to map it out. So that's the way it'll go, and hopefully it'll go to script, and the National League will come out on top.
I hope so. Mark Gardner's got an interesting role in this thing, too, in the bullpen. Now, here in the bullpen, he's got his charts. He's got everything. He'll tell Romo, look, you're going to face this guy and that guy. Out there, what's he going to tell Kershaw? Kershaw, I hope, is on the team. I hope he gets named to the team. I haven't heard yet. But what's he going to say to Kershaw? Well, look, don't forget, you got Trout coming up. Don't throw him low and away. What's Gardy doing out there other than saying, here's the ball, get warm?
Well, you'd be surprised. You know, some guys look for information.
Really?
You know, just because they're all-stars. And look, you know, you're probably not going to be a whole lot of that because they are all-stars. But, you know, the guys are in the other league as well. I mean, all our coaches will be prepared with their information. And if a guy needs it, that's what you want to be available as a coach. You don't necessarily have to go and give it to them. But if a guy asks a question, you want to be prepared and give them an answer.
Okay.
And it could be on the opposition. I mean, look, we're playing the American League clubs this year. We're playing the West. We haven't seen the East or the Central. So, you know, maybe somebody else in the club have seen it. But I'll ask Gardy after this All-Star game if Kershaw asked him any questions on pitching anyway.
Right. I want to know who asked him questions about how to pitch people. That would be good. All right, we'll take a break. The bench coach, Ron Wotus, is with us. Always a pleasure to talk some baseball with him on Sunday morning. We'll go to school with the professor, talk a little bit about base running and how you get from second to third on a fly ball that drops without getting forced at third. I'd like to hear about that. A couple of other things that have come up. Always good education for everyone listening to the show. All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the Sports Leader.